Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
What's happening, Euphonic?
Yeah, man, it's good. Are you well?
I'm good. How are we keeping you from your bricks and water?
Exactly. Bricks and sand, man.
What are you building now, bro?
I'm in the commune game. So I basically like buy houses and then turn them into communes for student res.
Yeah, we discussed this last time. But now, if we're doing a stock take, how much property does Euphonic actually have?
Let's just say I can't count them on one hand. On two hands, sorry. On my hands.
Because I remember seeing years ago an Instagram post that you put out about just how much property you had. And that's, you know, where your passion lies.
Yeah, I actually downsized because I figured out I was actually in the wrong game. I was buying flats, sectional titles. And then I figured out, like, I'm actually in the wrong game and it's actually not an investment. Like, this is on a higher grade level. And I started downsizing and now buy houses and flip them into communes.
It's very, very cool. So you provide shelter for the kids.
Yeah.
But you also are loved by the kids, which is why you're playing at the upcoming Generation Next Awards, the first under 18 party. Why do you think young people dig you so much?
First of all, I'd hope it's just because of the music, to start. And then also I think, I get them, I understand them. And like, I'm one person that understands all forms of age groups. And I also make it a point to understand all forms of age groups. And you know, like I said, like, first of all, the music, and also I just think they like brand Euphonic for whatever it is that it stands for, whatever it is that they like about it.
Dude, where are young people at? I know you spoke at the conference aspect of Generation Next last year and you had some really powerful stuff to share, but where are the youth of SA at? In fact, do we even say youth of SA or do we say youth of the world? Are we global now? Like, where are young people at?
You see, South Africa is a very dynamic and diverse country. So I wouldn't necessarily pack up the South African youth and compare them at any level with any other youth around the world. You know, South Africa is in a very shaky place. You know, I can just imagine what it must be like to be a 20-year-old who's dead center in the middle of people that are still trying to get over apartheid and people that are fighting for what they're fighting for now, the whole fees must fall struggle, because you don't really have context about exactly what happened back then. And you're stuck in a position now where you don't really understand where we're going to. You know, so it must be quite confusing to be a South African youth at the moment, especially if you're under 18.
You're still young, though. I mean, you would be part of the ANC Youth League, wouldn't you? You'd still qualify.
No, yeah, I still fall within the threshold. But you know what? I'm excited about the future of this country. I think the youth, especially the youth, have so much opportunity in this country. And just like the youth of previous eras, we've got the opportunity to shape the future of this country.
Yeah.
And it's exciting, man.
I love it when I see your Instagram post of you playing a gig or whatever and just the kids losing their minds. And you must love that as well. That feeling never gets old.
Yeah, like I said, you know, as much as I love to innovate and I love to be ahead of the pack, I still also like to make sure that I understand where every single person is coming from. And you can imagine, you're under 18, right? And you've got the opportunity to party with one of South Africa's best DJs.
Mm.
Because let's be honest, the closest that kids get to experiencing what it must be like to party in Ibiza, in the States, or at major festivals is whatever social events that are put on for them. Other than that, they watch the music videos, they watch Hardwell videos, they watch Euphonic videos, they watch Tiesto videos, and that's as close as it's going to get for them to be able to experience that vibe. So I always try to, as much as I possibly can, make them feel for that hour that Euphonic's on the decks, that you are at one of the best clubs, best festivals in the world.
I know that you party are involved with this under 18 party that Generation Next are hosting, the first one ever, and I know that you work with them a lot.
Yes.
I had an unbelievable experience once just picking a family member up from a you party concert where I think they were playing Mikasa's Jigga, and all the kids, regardless of race, regardless of age, everything, were just kind of coming together. So talk to me about music as something that can you unite the young people of SA, because you do this every weekend.
Yeah. You know,
and your music as well, because you're killing it on the charts as well. So
yeah, the thing about the type of music that I play, and especially the way I play the music, is that I always will take either a township beat or like a vocal, like a white vocal. I say white vocal, but like that's...
But it's just Jay something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's what it is. So I'll take like a song that will appeal to like a kid in Soweto that... like that's part of the streets of Soweto, and I'll take a kid something or an element from a kid from Sandton, and I'll fuse those two sounds together. And what I've seen like over like the time frame that I've been like in this game is that now the kids that are in the township are like, no, we play us that song from that, and the kids that are in Sandton are like, no, we want that township beat. So music is that universal thing, because it does it has a voice, yes, but it doesn't dictates anything to you, and it's either you like it or you don't like it. And we're just fortunate that music's the one thing that like people actually like.
It keeps it's slipping my mind, but there's one track specifically I know that it was kind of the breakthrough for that crossover for you. I can't remember which one it was.
If not Domination.
Yes, I think it was Domination, because I even remember you speaking about the fact that you can put that on in a what some might perceive as a white club or a black club or whatever, everybody just digs it.
Exactly.
Even though everyone's now calling Doc Shebeleza the new Nkalakata.
It is. Doc Shebeleza is Nkalakata of our generation. Yeah. It is.
The other trick about being young in this day and age, in addition to, you know, the context of South Africa and where we're at, is kind of just the advent of technology.
Yeah. I mean, like, technology is accessible. It's easily accessible. In one click of a button, you can be in America and then be in Paris in the next click. Like, technology's made the world so open. It's made the world a closer and a smaller place. And I mean, like, think about how you used to play Nintendo and Sega Genesis back in the day. Like, kids understand computers like how you used to.
Now you can sit in the game with virtual reality. It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely madness.
Is it not going to get a little carried away? I mean, they're speaking about virtual reality going to the extent of, like, you know, human intercourse. Like, it's hectic.
It's insane. I was reading an article about the way things are happening in Japan at the moment, that they actually have programs to incentivize people to hang out together. Because otherwise everyone's just like either on their phone, on their computer, or just like socializing via technology. And now they like have human interaction. And you know, the thing about being a human being is that like we are social animals, we're social beings, and we need other people around us in order for us to be able to function and be sane. So I just hope it doesn't get there. But I mean, like, I think, you know, the youth of South Africa want to hang. I mean, you see when you go to all these parties, they're not there to really like party up a storm. They're there to more like socialize, meet each other, talk about each other, figure out what are the new cool things. You know, they get dressed for those events. Like, it's a story. Like, I remember when I went, when I used to go to socials back in the day, all I wanted to do was like find a girl and like kiss her in the corner. And, like, that was it. Like, now it's changed. You know what I'm saying?
There's a little euphonic trying to find a girl and kiss her in the corner. Now there's too many women that want to kiss you. That's the problem. Look how that's changed. Although I don't believe that you were ever like a kid that struggled with women at all.
Nah, listen, like, I think, you know, when I was in high school, I was definitely not the coolest of the pack. And I'm glad that I wasn't the coolest of the pack. I actually tweeted the other day that the way life works is that, like, all the kids that were cool in high school, all the kids that were cool in varsity, they're not the cool kids anymore. And you just need to make sure that, like, you know, you find that balance, because it's going to happen even like at our age group. Like, you're cool today. Are you going to be cool when you're 40 or 50? Probably not.
Well, seeing as you study everyone, you probably will, because you'll figure out the scientific formula in order to remain cool no matter what age you are.
I'll be 60 and cool as if.
It's difficult to picture you even as a kid. Do you ever, like, are there any people in the world specifically that, you know, you were friends with when you were younger, or you were at school with, that you like them knowing how successful you've become?
Not really, man. And you know, like,
see, that's so proper, because you're so in your own lane. Yeah. I envy that.
The things I've always made it a point to hang around people that call me Temba.
Okay.
You know, like, people that don't care that, like, oh, my friend is a superstar DJ. They're actually embarrassed to even hang out with me, because they're like, oh, when we hang out with you, like, people are staring in our direction. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. So just like my friends actually think for me. They'll think in advance for me. If we're going out to a big party or a big jaw or like anything, they'll be like, okay, cool. Now we can't go there with you, because that's what's going to go down. So like, I still I was with my dad this morning, and he was like, listen, the back tire there is dirty, clean it. And I was like cleaning the tire at the back because he doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? And like, I also don't have that thing that like I'm euphonic. And
on your car?
No, on his car.
On his car, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I think you also need to be able to switch it on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've discussed this before. You've got this incredibly successful sister and this very, very smart brother and all of that. If someone wants to try and get into the headspaces of young people a little better, how do you do it if you're older?
You literally need to hang out in the places that they hang out. Ask them the questions. I mean, like sometimes like what I'll do is when I'm playing at like under 18 parties, I don't have a playlist.
Really?
So they can come up to me at any given time and be like, hey, this is what I want to hear. And if I don't have it, like technology allows you to quickly download it and you can play it.
Huh.
So I think the mistake that a lot of people make, especially with the youth, is by saying this is what these people want. And unless you've asked a kid and asked them honestly, like, this is what this is. Like, there's two pills, the blue or red pill. Which pill do you want to take?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to turn left or do you want to turn right? So go out and actually ask the kids. And like, don't put yourself in a position of superiority, especially around them, because they can pick it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like saying, like a toddler will laugh honestly at something. The older you get, that thing depreciates. So you can imagine an under 18 kid still has a lot of honesty within them, unlike you and I. So like, how do you as...
Yeah, we're tainted goods now.
Exactly. Like, you're tainted. You're like in your 30s and you think you know and can dictate how things were. And like I said, like early on with that Sega Genesis thing, an 18-year-old doesn't even know what Sega Genesis is now. Just to show you like how far things are. And you probably suck at Xbox. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's bad.
It's overwhelming.
And especially with like the internet and information being able to travel so fast. I mean, think back to when, I used to watch The Bold and the Beautiful with my parents, and it was embarrassing when they even like kiss each other on the cheek.
Yeah.
And like watch what's going on TV now. So the kids know more than we could ever know when we were 18, like under 18. Definitely.
So does that make you nervous to be a parent one day? Because by the time you're a parent...
It makes me excited, man. It makes me excited because I'm a very progressive person and I like...
What age would your kid have a phone?
You know, the way I would do it with my kids is that I wouldn't suggest them having a phone until they ask me for one. And when they ask me for one, I'd put them in a position where they'd have to work for one.
Yeah, I can picture your kids having to wash the car every single
week. You can have whatever you want, but you're going to have to earn it.
So here's another question. From your perspective, this guy who's been getting requests from people on the dance floor for years and years and years, do people want more local music now? And I bring it up because of, you know, the move to 90% local on the SABC stations, the emphasis on local. But I think that organically, you're probably getting a lot more kids coming up to you saying, drop the AKA versus the Jay-Z or whatever.
Well, because AKA is very relevant right now. And you'll actually be amazed at the song selection of these kids. Like, some of the songs I don't even know. Do you know what I'm saying? And because an 18-year-old isn't like you and me that was brought up tuning into an FM to hear the latest songs. They're like now on SoundCloud. They are on YouTube. So, I mean, like, they're also constantly looking for new and exciting music because their attention span is also so short. I mean, like, listen, we can only listen to Adele Hello so many times. You and I can listen to it far longer.
Because you've been trained differently.
Exactly. And these kids, literally, like, if you check out SoundCloud is an app where you can basically stream music. And what it does is that it populates what's trending according to what people around the world are listening to. So not just like what's popular, it populates according to what people around the world are listening. So at any given time, you and however many people that are tuned into SoundCloud at that given time are listening to the same things. So if you search Barbara Tucker and another kid from Australia searches Barbara Tucker, it puts Barbara Tucker at the top of the list. And when you just want to stream what's trending, you listen to Barbara Tucker. It's insane.
I also find
how they consume media is far
completely different.
They probably don't even know what a newspaper is.
Yeah. Yeah. I was listening to, by the way, I couldn't get Senkatele anywhere online. Eventually, I found it on iTunes on a Soul Candy album.
Yeah.
And then I found myself like zooming forward a minute and a half to get to when the bass drops and that kind of thing, which again, like, I wonder if songs are even going to be
3 minutes moving forward, because people just want the bass drop. You must see it in the sets all the time. Yeah. Like musically, how ADD is going to, you know, affect what people
put
out.
It's attention span. Get to the point quickly, because people realize that, like, hey, time is ultimately the only thing that I've got. And if you want to waste it, like, I'm moving on to the next person who's not going to waste my time.
You're also ADD though, bro.
To a certain extent, yeah.
How do you know that you are ADD to a certain extent? What are the telltale signs?
Like, I try and hold myself back from moving on too quickly. You know, like a classic example for me is going to Miami every single year and realizing that, like, globally, Oaks are operating at 100%. But when you get back to SA, you can't even implement 10% of that, of what you see. So now your options are either get on a plane and you go to where you can implement as close to 100% as you can, or you stay with your people and slowly but surely grow the scene.
Yeah, the other trick, I guess, you know, being here versus overseas where it's maybe a little bit more fast-paced, and that is that if you are half talented here, you'll make an absolute killing because...
Nah, I mean, like, you know, like, actually it makes me sick to the pits of my stomach sometimes when I see, like, what or who is popular in this country. It's like, it's ridiculous. Do you know what I'm saying? And also, it's not sustainable. It's like when you see, like, some of the, like, you could drop a song or do something today and you're like the most popular person in the world. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, is it sustainable? How long can you carry on doing this thing for? Like, for instance, if you notice, like, on a large scale, Gangnam Style, for instance.
Okay.
Like,
so who's done that here?
There's a lot of people that do it here. Okay. You know what I mean? And being on TV, being on radio, like, knowing how to mix does not make you a sustainable, popular artist. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and this is partly coming from the purist side of things, and also partly coming from watching how Oaks do things in the industry.
Who's sustainable here? Fresh, you would obviously say sustainable. I mean, for years he's been killing it.
You know what? Like, I don't have privy into, like, how people do things on the back end. So if, like, the people that I can say, like Nasty C, in my opinion, is sustainable because he produces himself, he raps himself, writes himself,
does,
like,
the videos.
Does the videos himself. That's sustainable.
So your favorite hip hop artist?
At the moment in the country. Jeez, it's a toss up between AKA Casper and Nasty C for various different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All with really, really strong music. Okay, if we've learned one thing from Euphonic in the past couple of minutes, what do you think it is?
In the last couple of minutes, I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead.
And just before we wrap it up, everything you're working on now, you've got property.
Yeah.
Okay, you got the music.
Yeah.
Which is killing it. I mean, it seems like you have a big song every summer without...
I'm trying. And you know what? Like, it's coming from a pure place because I'm actually not, like... When I say I'm trying, I'm saying that, like, I just get into the studio, make a song that I like, and then put it out. And if people dig it, amazing. And if they don't dig it, it's also cool.
Just too effortless, Euphonic. I'd like...
No, you know, like, for me, the way I see it and the way I want things to happen and the way things are going to happen is that music is going to start being golf to me. Like, it's going to be like my version of...
The hobby.
Of, yeah,
so like, do you make most of your money off the property now?
Well, not yet, but I want to get to that position and I'm going to get into that position. So I basically want to flip it. Currently, 80% of my income comes from the music industry and 20% from the property. And I want to flip it into 80% property and 20% music. And also, like, I'm working on things that I can hand over to my children. So, I mean, can I give my child Euphonic? No. Can I say to my child, okay, cool, you're going to be Euphonic now? No, I can't. You know, so like I said, time is the most important thing that we have, and your efforts and your energy is the most important thing that you've got. It's your equity. So put your equity into things that are progressive and things that, like, you can hand over to the next generation of you. Because, I mean, like, think about it. We get so caught up in, like, I mean, like, you know, like, I was watching, like, yesterday with Lerato Ganyahu and the whole true love thing, you know, and I wanted to give my two cents with, but I was like, you know, let me just keep quiet because, like, I don't want to be seen as controversial. But the bottom line is that the people that own true love probably don't even know who the editor is and probably don't even know who Lerato Ganyahu is. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at it like that. And now Lerato's fighting to be on a cover of a magazine that she can't hand over to her daughter. The editor is working for a newspaper and magazine that she can't hand over to her daughter. But the guy that's sitting probably on an island somewhere around the world doesn't even know who the editor is, doesn't even know who Lerato is. And at any given time, when that dude's child is ready, they can be the CEO at any given time, just like hand it over to you on a silver platter of that corporation that owns True Love magazine. So I'm like, I always question, like, what are we fighting for? Like, why, what are we arguing for? Like, you know, like, are you getting paid to be on the front cover of True Love? Like, I'm using this as just an example, but like, I'm asking myself those kinds of questions now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't own the SABC. I can't fight to be like, for the SABC, because my child won't be able to take it over. It's not my, it's not my dad's corporation, it's not my dad's company. You know what I'm saying? So like, fight for things that like you are in control of.
Your own stuff.
Your own stuff that you are in control of. Like, if you want to lie in bed today and not wake up for a week, like, you should be able to do that. So fight for the things that like you are in control of. Build things that you're in control of. And listen, like, I've spent half my life building Euphonic, and I can't at any given, like, if I'm driving to a gig and I'm in a car accident, like, can't make the gig, they just want their money back and that's it. Like, I can't send somebody else and say, please go fill in for me. Please go stand in for me. I can't, like, it is what it is. Like, it's the nature of the industry. It's the nature of, unless you are physically and personally there, you are not making money. And I don't want to work on things that, like, require me to be there in order for them to generate income.
You want to set it up and then go?
I mean, like, I want to be involved. But what I'm saying is that, like, I don't want to have to be there in order for this thing to tick. Mm.
How long has it taken you to get to this point? And by the way, I think anybody who just wants to be famous for the sake of being famous
You're in the wrong game, bro.
But I think it's interesting to hear it from somebody who is so ridiculously famous, you know, in SA. Like, so how long has it taken for you to get to this point where it's not about your Twitter following?
It's been creeping up. It's been me thinking about it. It's been me, like, you know, when you, in this industry, you always feel like I have to do certain things so that I can fit in. I have to be like this so that I am acceptable. And I'm just like, actually, what are we fighting for here, guys? Like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, think about it this way. If you're having a party on Saturday, right? And you're looking for DJs. Does the fact that Euphonic is available or not make you want to cancel your party? Probably not. If not, hi, Euphonic, you available? No, you're not. Hi, Black Coffee, you available? Yes, you are. Cool. I'm booking Black Coffee. So, unlike a David Guetta, who, in the bigger scheme of things, he'll say, I'm only available on Tuesday, and you'll take that date. With us, it's still like, okay, do you want to be on the front cover of True Love? No, I'm not available. Okay, cool. We'll just find the next person. Do you know what I'm saying? And it just shows that, like, we're so easily replaceable in this industry. So I'm like, what do you want to do?
But you can't think that about yourself. I mean, surely you give yourself more credit than thinking that you're this replaceable guy and that they
No. I'm not. I'm just saying that, like, I take my art and my craft seriously, but I'm saying the person that will book me to come play at an event, they don't care. They're just like, you're just a means to an end. If you're available, sweet. If you're not available, sweet. Radio stations, are you available for this time slot? No, I'm not. Cool. They'll put somebody else in. You know what I'm saying? So, like, let's not give ourselves too much credit for the things that we don't really deserve.
I can see why you and Teebs are such good friends. And Teebs does a segment every week on the show where we go through his Twitter timeline.
Yeah.
But he's also, like, drops this wisdom, like, because you phone him half the time during his segment, which is how I know that the two of you are mates.
Yeah.
So where does it leave you then?
It just leaves me in a place where I'm saying that just question what you are working towards and what the future of whatever it is that you're working towards looks like. And also, like, understand that every single person that either is in a position to make decisions either around or about you is a human being that goes to the toilet the same way you go to the toilet, breathes the same air that you breathe. So just, like, dream big, think big, and don't be intimidated by human beings. Because like, I mean, like, that Lerato Khanyago thing yesterday was sad, but, right, if you think about it, it's a human being that decided to do all those things. It wasn't a robot. It wasn't, like, divine intervention. It was a human being. So, like, do you want to get upset? What do you want to do about it? It's just like, that's my thought.
Who do you think came off the worst in that? The magazine or her?
The magazine's going to sell. They're going to make loot. Already I'm seeing, like, people, like, tweeting, oh, like, I've just bought the car. Like, Lerato's the one that's in the worst of position.
Yeah.
Because, like, did she need the PR? No, she didn't, because she's got too much PR. Did she need the money? Would the money have made a difference in her life? Probably. Is she going to get any money from the cover? Probably not. The guy that's sitting on an island sipping his cocktail doesn't even know who the editor is, doesn't care. like all he wants to know at the end of the day is how much did last month's True Love sell, and what are we going to do to make sure that we sell the same amount of numbers for the next cover? No, but the last time was different because this is what we did. Well, then try to do the same thing again.
So look, there's people that would argue like the social equity out of... She trended the whole day on Twitter. People would argue like the social equity out of having your name there and everyone speaking about it would be valuable to your career.
People don't care. Listen, guys.
So like, when you train for 12 hours, you don't care.
Guys. You know, there's something that people don't understand. And I've been in the media. I've been like, I've trended for days. The bottom line is that the person that's reading your timeline, right? Reading my timeline, and you're like, oh, Euphonic is crazy, right? As soon as you've said Euphonic is crazy and you log out of Twitter, what's going on in your life? My girlfriend's stressing me. I have to pay my bills. Oh, I hate my boss. Oh, my daughter needs this. My grandmother's that. This person's stressing me with this. I've got these issues. Gone. The only reason you train for 12 hours is because
Lots of people are doing it.
And every single time they're all forgetting that, like, that in a week, people have forgotten that, like, oh, last week, that this is what happened. Dude, people forgive our president. Like,
People move on.
We all move on.
You know what? I've heard you say before that you really don't care what people say about you. But in that sort of past 3 minutes, I actually think that you, and it's unfathomable to me that, you know, you really do believe it, but you actually don't.
I really don't.
You see, it's hard though for me to understand that because I people see a negative thing about them or someone says something about them and it gets them down. And I always thought every human being at some level must, if there's something negative about them from another person, feel that effect. But with you, I don't know. That could imply you're a sociopath, by the way.
No, you know what it is? You know what it is? Like, if I hadn't gone through the things that I've been through in my life, I probably wouldn't be like this, but I have gone through those things and I am the person that I am right now. And I've realized that, like, wait a minute, like, people actually don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you find yourself on the front page of a Sunday World, like, before, I wouldn't even want to leave my house because I'm thinking that, like, oh my God, everyone cares. And that's why I said early on, stop taking credit for the things that you shouldn't be taking credit for. You know, like, oh my God, everyone cares. Everyone's looking at me. And people don't care. Like, you go to the garage, you see your face on the front page, and the petrol attendant's like, yo, what's up, man? Like, yo, last week's mix, brother. Heat. It moves on with his life. Do you know what I'm saying? And if they do, they're going to laugh about, like, God, you see, hey, man, these newspapers, look what they're doing to you now. And then you both laugh and you both move on. Like, people have far bigger things going on in their lives than to sit there worrying about, like, what's going on in Euphonic's life. Like, they don't care, man. I mean, look at the last few weeks, like, with the whole Nonke thing. On Sunday, everyone hated Euphonic. On Tuesday, everyone loved Euphonic. On Wednesday, I sold t-shirts. Like, we're winning. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are winning because people don't have the attention span to be upset at you for too long. We can't even be upset at the president for too long.
They move past it.
That we're not upset at the number one citizen for too long.
So why did you post all that stuff then?
You know, like, it's not particularly about that stuff. It's just I'm one person.
You know you're going to be spicy though with some of the stuff.
Man. You know, like, the intention wasn't even to be spicy. I just call a spade, bro. Like, and that's it. And whether, like, I know what my truth is and whether you want to believe what my truth is or not, like, literally, like, that's definitely up to you. But I've put it out there. That's what it is. If you like it, cool. If you don't like it, that's also fine. Like, I don't care.
Just is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm almost getting like a Euphonic's going to be the puppet master of all of us soon. Because it's
not the puppet.
To a certain degree, though, if you figure out how people work and you're going to implement a commercial model into that.
Oh, I'm a capitalist.
Yeah, exactly. So it is a little bit like that. But does there always have to be an audience and the people that are on the stage? Because if everybody thought like you, where would that leave the world?
Oh, you mean if people didn't care?
Yeah, I'm saying like if people didn't care about Lerato on the cover of True Love and spoke about it and everything and there wasn't some oak sitting on a beach
there'll always be someone that cares.
Yeah, exactly. And there have to be those people. You're just definitely not one of them.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, like here's how I look at it. I'm like, okay, cool. What put me in the entertainment space? It's music. Cool.
And talent. Yeah, you're very talented guy.
Am I still putting out records? Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Are the records that I'm putting out still hot? That's up to people to decide. But I think the way things are going, I can argue that yes, they are. When you come to my gigs and listen to me play, like, are you getting what you paid for? Yes, you are. When you listen to my radio show, like, are you getting what you paid for? Yes, you are. So in the music space, the space that I care for people to know about, like, I'm doing justice in that scene. Everything else is none of your business. Everything else is none of your business, which is why, like, you know, like, I'm vocal about property, but not as vocal as I am about the music business, because I'm like, the property is my thing. The property is actually the thing that allows me to be the independent person that I am. So, like, I'm not reliant on the next human being deciding that whether I'm...
should be playlisted or not.
Yeah. If I'm playlisted, cool. If I'm not, that's also fine.
It's your thing. And you can drive past it and it's there and it's got your name on the
and
title.
And it's sustainable. And I mean, like, what I do know is that, like, next year, if I decide that I want the property to be there, it'll be there. But, like, I don't know who the playlist manager of whatever station is still going to be there next year. And, like, that's what I'm saying. It's all human beings. Like, all human beings that have the same insecurities that you have, that have the same worries about the things that you worry about.
Is there anyone that really gets this in your life? That really gets you?
I don't think people understand
where you're at.
My friends understand me. And, I mean, like, even when I tweeted those things, like, anyone that knows me and read it in my voice knows that, like, he was probably having the biggest laugh. You know what I'm saying?
Puppet master!
and he was definitely, like, I mean, anyone that knows me knows that I call a spade a spade. Do you know what I'm saying? And, like, no, I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm just telling my truth. That's what my truth is. That's what my truth is. If you want to argue, argue about it. And that's the thing. If you read my tweets and read the responses, not once was I called a liar. Call me a liar. Then I'll be like, okay, cool. What did I lie about? But not once was I called a liar. Just like, yeah, you're so spicy. You're trying to be controversial. You're trying to bring people down. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. I'm like, no, I'm telling my truth. If I'm if I'm lying about it, call me a liar.
So you spoke about kids, right? This means you have to find a bae that understands you and that is going to, you know, really get where you're at, because you're in a very interesting space now. This is serious mogul mentality. When you tweet you want to be a billionaire, I really believe that that's part of what your focus is and what you are trying to achieve.
Yeah.
You know you have to have a bae before kids, unless you're just going to find kids or you're going to...
Like the bae that I'm with right now, you know, like, it's day and night for me. Like, it's day and night. Like, you know, like, I'm with someone that allows me to be me, that understands that, like, hey, this guy is this way and doesn't try to...
Are,
like,
you difficult though?
I'm definitely not difficult. I'm not difficult. I'm a bit weird because I'm very unconventional. Like, I don't do things the way everyone else would want to do things, and I don't think about things the way everyone else thinks about things. If this is the social norm, I question, why is this the social norm, and, like, what does my gut instinct say, and how does my gut want to do this thing? And I'll do it the way my gut says I must do it. Like, I'm the type of dude, if I got to a T-junction and I either had to go left or right.
No, but don't go straight, bro. It's going to run straight.
No. And this road sign said, left is the only way to go. Listen, brother. And my gut instinct says right, I'm going right. Because I believe on that path to go right, there's a lot of things that I need to see, experience, that are going to only help me be a better person.
Seeing as we're in this space now, and I hate asking this question because it's such a, it's like, for some reason it feels cheesy, but it actually isn't cheesy. But what for you is life about?
Life for me is about doing the things that you want to do with the people that you love. That's the short and long of it.
Has that always been your answer?
No, it hasn't always been my answer.
So what does that mean if the answer changes and it is what it is right now?
I wouldn't say I've had an epiphany. I've just gone through certain things by myself with other people, and I've just, like, looked at, like I'm also able to look at my picture from the outside in. I'm able to pull myself out, look at myself. Like, I can, we're sitting in the studio now, I can pull myself out and stand on the outside and look at how you are thinking about me and how this whole thing, like, is
happening
at the moment. So, like, the answer has definitely changed, and it's changed for a lot of different reasons. And I do think, like, I've gone through a lot in a very short space of time, and I could have either been the guy that would have been broken down by it or the person that I am now. And, like, I'm very headstrong. Like, it takes a lot to break me down or bring me down or to discourage me about anything. And, like, once I have my mind set on things, like, there's you literally, like, it's going to be difficult to stop me. You know, and like,
and it's only because you, oh, you see, and this is what flipping annoys me, is that you look at successful people and it always seems like that you have to be Simon Cowell, you have to lose everything at 30. You have to be this other person and everything has to go wrong. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just what a successful narrative is built on, is like serious freaking hardship. I don't know. Do you have to struggle in order to...
Look, and our struggles will never be the same, but I think you do need to go through...
But you've been through some serious stuff, which we've all seen.
Yeah, you do need to go through a, like, something or other that's going to make you stop and be like, is this the direction that I want to take? I mean, like, I meditate twice a day.
Really?
Something that I've never done before. Like, in the last 2 years, I meditate twice a day.
Wow.
I also, like...
I find that one of the hardest things to do.
My mind is sharp as fuck. Like, you can't touch me. Like, if I tell you this is what I'm going to do, like, it's going to get done. Like, that's it. It's going to get done. If I tell you that, like, I don't want to do this, like, I will not do it.
You're very headstrong.
That's where I'm at the moment. Because also, like, you're like, ah, oh, if I don't do that interview at Cliff Central, like, I, somebody else is going to do it, and then they're going to be more popular than I am, and like, oh my god, like, then you start like making yourself drive yourself crazy. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, life is actually very simple. What do you want to do? When do you want to do it? How do you want to do it? And who do you want to do it with? Answer those questions and everything's sweet.
So have we evolved in as people? See, this is what I look at what's happening, you know, the way that people judge other people based on the color of their skin or based on the country that they're from or how rich they are, how poor they are. And then it's difficult for me to reconcile that we can put people like... on the moon, we can blast a rocket ship off, and we've got the technology for that. You can buy a virtual reality headset for like 10 grand and put it on and be somewhere. And that implies evolution, but the actual basics of people getting along, like, we're such morons. We can't do that at all. And in fact, it seems like we're regressing.
Yeah, we definitely are regressing.
So what the hell is that?
But you know, like, on your point there, like, let me throw a spanner in your work. And I read a lot, and I read a lot of books. And there's this one book that I read. It's called The Four Agreements. And in this book, this guy basically says every single thing, right, around you that you see is a dream. Everything is a dream. Every single thing around you is a dream. From the roads that we drive on to the cars that you drive, trees are God's dream that he put into reality. So think about it this way. Like, a human being was like, how am I going to start a fire? And it evolved from smacking two rocks together to someone coming up with like, no, just make a matchstick and you light it up. So every single thing that you see around you was once in somebody's head, and that person turned it into reality. So like, anything that you see around you was once somebody's dream that is now in reality. If I sit in studio and I'm like, I'm going to make I'm going to make a song that sounds like this, and this is the melody, and this is how it's going to start. This is the vocalist that I'm going to get. This is how the body, and this is how it's going to end. That is my dream. Once I put that dream into music and release the song, you're literally listening to one of my dreams that's here that you can see now.
Jeez, I dig that. I dig that. That's really, really
every
cool.
Single, this microphone, who says a microphone has to look like this?
The guy that made it. That was his envisioning of it.
Exactly. Who says a glass has to be the way a glass that carries water has to be? The guy that thought, okay, how am I going to make this glass better? And think about it, like, anything around us, like, even, like, let's take Uber, for instance. Uber wouldn't have been a reality if...
Someone hadn't thought about it,
and if transport didn't exist.
Okay, but now, before you overwhelm me so that I'm sitting having an existential crisis crying in the corner for the next 3 weeks, like, how do you not let that overwhelm you? Because... And this is, I get frustrated when people say there's no possibilities with anything, there's no opportunities, because you have to create that. And actually, I sometimes look at everything that's possible and I feel a little overwhelmed and I don't even know where to start. And a lot of people, I think, also feel that way, so they don't start jack shit. So how do you let this not overwhelm you? Because you need to know, probably churning out 100 dreams a day, bro.
You need to know what your purpose is.
Oh, geez. Okay, so what's yours then?
Mine are two things. Two things. That's it. Two things. Music and property. And I use...
You've locked it down.
Yeah, music is one of my passions. Property is another one of my passions. I'm either DJing to make money to build property and building property so that DJing can be a hobby, right? And I do both these things so that the legacy and the future generation of me has something to hold on to, and to also like provide for my family.
You know what you
and
brought?
And that's it.
You brought this up last time as well, this idea of legacy, which is really important to you. And I remember asking you, you know, why is it so important? Because everyone is just self-obsessed. And I would, you know, celebrity is supposed to be an example of some of the most self-obsessed people that there are. That they take a selfie every 5 seconds. I mean, you look at Kim Kardashian, she doesn't give a shit about anybody else outside of her. I think, I don't know, again, haven't met her, don't want to judge her. But I think.
Yeah.
So you would you say that you're selfless? Because legacy to me almost implies a little bit of selflessness.
I mean, like, I'm working on a 150-year plan, like, and I won't even be there for it.
Do you realize? I wonder why, though. I don't know what it is that, because I don't think like that at all.
No, I mean, like, it's easy to get caught up in like the now. Like, I'm doing this thing for the now. But like, I mean, like, I think differently, man. And I'm just like, you know, and not everyone has to think like this. But I'm just like, take some of our celebrities. Like, can you take your celebrity and give it to your daughter? Can you? Can you do that? Can you take the fact that you
Would you want to?
Can you take the fact that you were an amazing radio DJ and give it to your son?
No, you want to hand over capital.
I just want my kids to never have to want for anything. And I want to put them in a position where if my child says, listen, I want to be a tree feller, I'm like, cool, you are going to be the best tree feller in the world, and this is how we are going to help support and help you realize your dream. And most of us, like, we come from families where we all have to work. Like, if you're not like, I mean, like, I'm still waiting for my parents to say, listen, like, this thing has all been a joke, we're actually millionaires and we only just put you through what you had to go through just so that you would learn how to like you know, be able to stand for yourself. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you do I want to live for the now, or do I want to live forever?
They really must be just next level stoked with her, with everything going on with you. What was the story you were telling me about the t-shirts when you were younger, or the clothing? You would go clothing shopping like once a year.
So basically, my parents, you know, as a black kid, like, whatever clothes you used to wear at the time, like, in fact, it's still the same thing now. Like, I mean, when you grew up, what was your dad aspiring to have?
Aspiring to have, I guess, just money and successful career, stuff, yeah.
And like material stuff?
Yeah, I guess so.
Like what?
Cool cars, cool houses, all of that stuff.
But did you ever, like, is it something that rings in your head that like your dad was always like, oh man, if we could have a Jetta at our house, if we could have this, if we could live here, if we could do this, if we could do that? Is that like...
Not massively, I don't think.
So like when you're black... Like, you grow up, like, and that's why people struggle to understand that, like, how can you own a GTI but park it, like, in a back room? Because our sets of this is me being successful are different. Like, the clothes that you wear for some black people is their version of I'm successful.
I've made it.
And for the average white kid, probably not. So I don't know what it is that my parents, like, saw about that, but basically when we went clothing shopping, and you can still see it in me today, that, like, I don't attach value to what clothes I'm wearing.
Just wear black t-shirts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because there's far more important things in life. They used to take us to like Edgar's, and you'd literally walk in and be like, listen, buy whatever you want to buy. But and just know that, like, if you don't buy socks because you're short of socks, if you don't buy underwear because you're short of underwear, or don't buy a jacket because you're short of you must know that you're only coming back here next year. So when there was that time, I used to walk into Edgar's with a list of like what I needed and then what I wanted. And I'd start with the stuff that I needed. Like, I knew that, like, I need socks, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And I'd get that stuff first on lockdown and then all the other stuff that, like, I wanted. So I've never grown up like being too concerned about like what I'm wearing and like what other people think of the clothes that I wear. I mean, like, for black people on Christmas, wearing new clothes is a new thing. It's like, is the thing. I've never been concerned about wearing new clothes on Christmas Day. And also, like, I think, like, it's a bit of a weird one for me, because like, I grew up under completely different circumstances than most people. And I say that, like, my grandparents are from rural Mpumalanga, right? I grew up in the township of Daveyton, and then we moved to Benoni. I went to St. Dunstan's College, where I was one of, like, if not the, in my matric class, I was the only black guy in my matric class. Okay, so now take those environments, right? At any given time, I'm hanging out with my friends from the hood. On school holidays, I'm hanging out in rural Mpumalanga. every single school holiday I was hanging out in rural Mpumalanga. When I'm going out with my buddies, it's my white friends from school. So like I grew up understanding like all sorts of different human aspects and how people live and how people grew up, and like understanding that like when I'm in rural KZN, in rural Mpumalanga, us having pap and cabbage with different spices on different days was what like the meal is going to be. And on Fridays, that's the only time when you're going to get meat. Like, understand that. Do you know what I'm saying? Then you go, and then when you come back, you're at school in St. Dunstan's College, where like all your friends like are white kids and they live the white life. And then you have to go back home to your black parents who live the black life. And then you've got your township friends and you've got rural, like, so.
What an interesting thing though, that, you know, and we can fast rewind to the, you know, 10th minute of this where we were discussing this music that crosses all races, all creeds, everything. It's just such a poetic way to, I don't know, look at the story of your life in a weird way.
And it's unique. And that's the thing. It's unique. It's like, it's only my story.
Unique, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only my story. And I don't expect other people to understand where I'm coming from or where I'm going.
And you actually don't care. No, you actually don't care, which is great. Because I just worry that we're getting into this trap of just being so conscious of what other people think of us.
I mean, like, dude, do you want to go to bed at night and do ceiling duty and know that, like, you know what, like, today I did this the way Gareth would like it and not the way I would like it? What an injustice to yourself.
Yeah, it's
true, what I'm saying? And, like, I don't understand. Like, for me, mine's mind-boggling. Like, this thing is a spade. Why do we want to call it a, like, anything else? Like, it's a spade. That's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's poo. That's what it is. It's poo. Like,
can't do it up with anything.
Like, and most people want to, like, sugarcoat things. Like, you're Willy Wonka. You're not Willy Wonka. Like, if that's what this thing is, call it that. Do you know, why are you busy tiptoeing around issues? Like, you know, like, I'm one person that, like, if I messed up on something, like, I'll truly, honestly, and genuinely want to fix it. But, like, you're not going to, like, ride on my head and, like, make me want to apologize for something that I didn't do. Like, if I did something, I did it. And if I didn't do it, I didn't do it. If I, you know, like, if I played a cuck set, I'll be the first person to say I played a cuck set. Irrespective of what anyone else thinks. If someone comes to me like, yeah, that mix was nice, and I know that, like, yes, the last 15 minutes were terrible, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, thank you so much, or, like, go home feeling better about myself. No, like, the last 15 minutes, Temba, were terrible. Go back home, think about it, and find a way to fix it.
Dude, you're dropping it like it's hot, yeah. I'm trying to think what the most apt way to end this would be, and I actually don't have any idea. As to what the, and this started out as a conversation, but this is always what happens with you, is that it doesn't seem like one can have a superficial conversation. So how did you start DJing?
I refuse. You know, like, there's certain people that I like, certain people that I respect in the media game that I will give my time to. Like, I respect you, and which is why I'll come and I'll sit and have a conversation. I turned down a lot of interviews, because I know people want to ask me things that are out there already. Like, let's not regurgitate content, and like, let's not make the listeners seem like they're stupid.
But you have so much more to offer as well, I think. And this is where I think it gets tricky, is that people pick up on certain aspects and they miss the part about this guy telling you how you should live your life in a better way and not let social media affect you, which is going to, like, screw the whole world up anyway. So it's weird. Like, people draw out the weird bits. They don't draw out a lot of, like, there's a lot of wisdom in you, whether you think there is or there isn't. Okay, so the way we're going to wrap this up is, you're going to wrap it up with whatever there is left to say. Let's really get it powerful here, bro.
I think, like, the one thing that I've learned in the last 2 years is that literally what you think you are, you will end up being. So think about what you want to be, and, like, it's called auto-suggestion. Just, like, repeat that as much as you can to yourself and get up and do the action. So think it, act it, and verbalize it. Think it, act it, and verbalize it. Yeah.
We need to add speaking to music and property here or something.
Nah, it's not my vibe. But listen, I've been offered I've been offered. I can't. I won't. It's not.
Or writing, maybe a book or something.
Nah, no.
We can put it out on Twitter. It'll just be loads and loads of tweets. It'll be the first book on Twitter.
Okay. What do you spend most of your time doing?
Probably working. Yeah, I think. Yeah. But I enjoy what I do. Yeah. So okay, I enjoy it. So I do the creative stuff for Cliff Central. I do my show. I enjoy it. Yeah.
And do you go home feeling you've served a purpose in life?
Going home from this interview, the thought that you've dropped so much wisdom and put it out there, and that someone might listen to this and actually take some of the value that I've taken from it, because this has been really insightful, that would probably be the reward for a day like this.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, nothing is impossible. I mean, like, I go back to, and I'm doing this with my property stuff now, like, I go back to how I built Euphonic. Before I even played on the club scene, I've got a scrapbook that I've still got. It's at my house. I used to cut flyers up and it would be like Fresh Oskido, and I'd add there plus Euphonic. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was DJing, practicing to DJ in my garage at home, my DJ setup was like against the wall. So I was always facing the wall, and I'd always visualize me playing at like the biggest parties, the biggest festivals, the biggest events. And look at my life now. So you must imagine like what's going down at my house, like in my downtime when I'm sitting and visualizing before I go to sleep, so that tomorrow when I wake up, I'm acting on that stuff. Because anything is possible. Guys, you can be whatever you want to be. If you wanted to be the president of the United States, you could do it. That's how I think about life. Anything is possible. And you know, like, that's why, like, I don't like giving people advice about anything, because I feel like then they draw from what you are saying.
Your experience, yeah, your context. Yeah.
And it's not. Like, yeah. Your
advice is nostalgia.
Yeah. Your way of doing things is like, could be completely different. Like, you could even show me something, but like, anything you want to do, anything you want to achieve is possible. Just put it in your head and stick to it. Like, you know, there's people that will be like, I'm thinking about being a DJ. I'm like, already there. The fact that you're thinking about a DJ means that, like, you're also thinking, maybe I shouldn't be a DJ. Come to me and
conviction.
Say, I want to be a DJ. I'm going to be a DJ. I just need to be put on the right path. When you're like, I'm thinking about doing this, like, you're also saying to yourself that, like, yeah, there's also a way out of this. Like, I had the conversation with my parents beginning of this year, and I said, guys, the path that I'm going on now might mean that, like, I might need my room at home. So, like, that's at the level that I'm taking risks at. That, like, if anything goes pear-shaped, I know that, like, I'm going back to my bedroom at home. And even that doesn't mean that this is it. You know, like, I'm just saying that, like, if everything goes pear-shaped, is my room at home still available? And, like, my room at home is, like, 5 or 6 steps away from me actually getting to that. Because I'm, like, I'm going to be a property billionaire. I'm going to be one of South Africa's number one residential black property owners. That's what I'm going to do. And how am I going to do that? One property at a time.
And the best part is that I'll tweet you the podcast to this in 10 years when it's come true.
That's what I'm going to
do. That's really cool.
That's what I'm going to do.
Dude, thank you so much.
Power.
Like, really. That was, it's really, really dope. Well, screw anybody else if they took anything away from that. I thought it was cool. I'm definitely going to go catch you at the Generation Next Awards after party now.
Yeah, let's have a jam.
I freaking love that. I love that, you know, there you are, like, spinning the decks and that, and someone can look at you and think, yeah, there's this guy that's just good with music. But there's just such a narrative unfolding. There's such a story. And it's been so cool to catch you in this space and in this time, in the context of where you're at. And I'm really, really excited for when it comes true, because I think that it really will. Yeah,
it's going, like, what choices do I have? I've already put it out there. I've asked the universe. I've told the universe. I keep telling myself every single day. And the last thing I want to do is let myself down. That's not going to happen.
You're going to be a billionaire. Everyone was laughing on Twitter.
No, it's fine.
We'll see.
And I mean, like, there's such a classic example, like, and today, so there's a house in Clifton that got sold for 290,000 rands.
Yeah.
In Clifton, in South Africa, one property. That's one property in South Africa, 290,000 rands.
290 million.
290 million, yeah. Sorry, 290 million. 290 million is what? It's one quarter, just over one quarter of a billion rand. One property is one quarter. So why? So I don't understand why people even think it's, if but anything, I think me sitting to be a billionaire is a small goal.
Jeez.
It's a small goal. Because what's a billion? A billion is 1,000 million. One property is how much really in these days? It's a million rand. So if I have 1,000 properties, I've got a billion rand property portfolio. How difficult is it to get 1,000 properties? Like, come on, guys. Like, certain things aren't that difficult to think about.
So dope. So dope. That there is Euphonic. What a, like, genuinely, what a freaking rock star. Yeah, and I'm gonna hold this. When you do become all of these things, and it's crazy to me, I'm really sitting with one of the most successful people in the South African entertainment industry, and you really are, which is why you've got so much credibility in saying all this stuff. I'm excited for when I, you know, phone you up 5 years from now and you're a billionaire, and then you're going to fly us out to where you are to do a catch-up.
Shot.
Rockstar, dude, thank you so much.
Cool, man. Big up. Kelman on cliffcentral.com.